Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Where is it? Where is your cell phone? You don't have to look far. It's either in your back pocket. You've got it in your hand. Please use it to send anything wretched to idea@wretched.org. And if you want to use the text function, please do so with questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. 877-282-2337.
All right. We start with an email from Jim. Todd, we have a person that just started coming to our church, which is a verse-by-verse Bible teaching church. This person, though, is constantly shouting out during the sermons.
Right.
The amens and the hallelujahs and the bring-its.
Yeah.
Many people in our church have actually moved away from this person. The pastor did speak to them, and it has toned down some.
Yeah.
And I can ignore it for the most part, but some can't.
Yeah.
We're trying to be patient, but it is getting really difficult as it's causing such a stir.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear your opinion.
Gotta look for a Bible verse that would give us some instruction. And the one that comes to mind for me is that church should be done decently and in order. Now, what does that look like? Yeah, that gets a little bit tricky, but church should be done in such a way where the principles that God, the elements that God Himself has regulated, this is what I want in my worship service. They've got to be there, and you need to do it decently and in order. But what about any sort of emotional expression from the congregation? I've got to find a Bible verse that says those things are sinful or inappropriate or would violate decently and in order. Furthermore, what I think about is the life of a congregation, especially in worship, it's a two-way street. Consider little children. A lot of times, moms and dads are reticent to bring their kids into the service because they get squirmy. All right, mom and dad, you need to do everything you can to keep them from squirming and having shouting fits and outbursts. That would be distracting. Having said that, the other side of the street is, hey, look at a mom and dad are bringing their kid into the worship service. How rockin' is that? And we celebrate it and we overlook it. And both of those things need to be going on. And I think the same thing is true with somebody who is more effusive in their response, say, to the sermon. Here's another one for you to consider. What about hand raising? Does that disrupt decently and in order? It bothers some people. It can be distracting to some people. So there's three instances off the top of my thin noodle that would indicate we've got to be a two-way street worship body. You got to work to not distract, and I got to work to not be distracted. You got to work to not do things that are agitating, and I've got to work to not be agitated. How do you get that worked out when you don't have a clear mandate about hand raising, about kids when they squawk on occasion? Or in this instance, somebody who wants to shout out and amen. The answer is, I think you need to put it out on the table and talk about it lovingly together. And this is congregational life. Here's what so easily happens in a situation like this. People don't like the amening. So what do? They complain to the elder. So then the elder then goes to the person and says, hey, we've been getting some complaints. It's kind of distracting. Can you tone it down? That ain't the way it's supposed to work. If it bothers you, you need to bring Bible verses to support what legs you have to stand on to say, hey, brother, love you. I don't want you going anywhere. But could we talk about how effusive you are and how vocal you are during the sermon? And you should be able to get things sorted and worked out if both parties are working it out in love toward one another. Then I can think of it. Let's see. Yeah. because I'm working on this for the sermon on Sunday. The Bible verses that talk about how love is the only thing that really brings about unity. Now, you need truth in there. Otherwise, that's baked into what unity is. You must have truth. But it is love that brings together unity. Why? Because we're not going to agree on everything. And so love overlooks a multitude of issues, even sins, so that we can be together in unity. So I would say, work it out with them. And you need to work on not being distracted. You need to work on overlooking that and just coming to terms with it, because that is the way that individual desires to express him or herself. I know how I feel about it. I personally, I have no problem if somebody lets out an amen. In fact, we had a couple at church a few weeks ago. A couple of times I was hearing amen, and it's like, huh, that's not typically what we do at Alpharetta Bible Church. Were they wrong? I don't think so. Did it bother me? No. Could it distract somebody who maybe is distractible from the pulpit? I suppose so, but a man who has got any experience should be able to stay focused and not get carried away with it. And so I would encourage a congregation to consider, what Bible verses do I have to stand on? And then get along together in unity based on love. Hey, Jimmy, you got any thoughts on that?
I mean, you need to look at yourself first before you say something to someone. I mean, why does it bother you? Why is this person shouting out amen and hallelujah really truly bothering you? Because if that person is genuinely worshiping and not drawing attention to themselves,
that's right,
then I think the problem's inward. But if it, what they're
you
doing...
Know what, you know what you actually made me think of, Jimmy? Is that it could be, and I'm not analyzing anybody, but maybe there's a little bit of, I don't want to say guilt, shame. They're kind of excited about this and I'm not. Mm. So why don't you tone it down?
That's right.
And be like me. That could be going on there. Yeah. I personally, now, dancing in church, I don't see that being anything in the Bible that would be regulated that would be approved and affirmed. I guess if somebody is genuinely excited in worship and it's not distracting and it's not sexual, could they do that? This is a personal thing. I'm less comfortable with that. But did you hear what word I chose? Comfortable. That doesn't mean it's necessarily sinful. But Jimmy, I think to your point, if you're doing something as an expression, if it's to draw attention to yourself, you stop it.
Yeah.
But if it's to genuinely worship the Lord effusively, then I think the rest of us have to work on just getting over it. 877-282-2337.
Right, this is from Brad. He texted in, Todd, you recently advertised the G3 and Shepherd's Conferences. Given the recent trend of pastors falling into disqualifying sin, what are or what can these conferences do to help prevent pastors from falling and from the attendees from idolizing them?
Well, that's two separate things. One, I think that the organizers of the conference vet. I think certain things should be in place. I do not think, if you're a speaker at a conference, you should not be offended if the conference organizer says, we'd like to sit down and talk to you about your inner life. We need to know, because we need to protect the word of God, God's reputation, this conference. We've got some questions. And if a dude isn't willing to say, sure, I don't think that I would have that fellow at the conference. I think that the conference can, and I would say probably should do those things. In defense of conferences, though, when you look at the lives of some of these people, would you have ever guessed? I mean, really, would you have ever guessed that that individual was going to fall, that this was going on? Would that have even been disclosed? Let's give the conferences, cut them a little bit of slack too, because it's not the local church. They don't get to see them day in and day out. Furthermore, even somebody in the context of a local church can be a deceiver. These conferences, they know the reputation of these speakers and they have every reason to be confident in them. So I suspect they're just about as disappointed and hurt as the rest of us are. So I think there's stuff that they can do. I'm not sure that there's anything that they can do perfectly that would keep this from ever happening again. We do have a video up on the YouTube machine. A number of us from Fortas Institute got together to talk about it. I do think, though, to the second question, the idolizing of high-profile evangelicals, there's a balance that must be struck here. We can't ricochet, oh, those guys were being idolized, they fell. Now look at the egg in the face, no more conferences. I think that's just a whiplash response that is inappropriate. I think these conferences are awesome and that they can be great on so many levels. So to throw out the baby with the bathwater, I don't think is wise. What needs to happen to keep these guys from being idolized? That's easy. Don't idolize them. That's it. That one is on us. That one belongs in our own heart. We need to see them as a blessing. Go to the G3 conference, which you can do for 30% off if you use the promo code FORTIS, all caps FORTIS. Wow, it's math and spelling now. And enjoy it and drink it in because it is a massive blessing. Just don't esteem them higher than you ought. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortas Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Crotts helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortas means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortas. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to FortasInstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortas Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortasInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Important dates in Christian history. 1549. Archbishop Thomas Cranmer produces the Book of Common Prayer for the Church of England. Henry VIII created the Anglican Church as a mirror of the Catholic Church, but the Book of Common Prayer helped to mold the Church of England into a Protestant church.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of conferences, hey, we were speaking of conferences. This is Wretched Radio. Awesome question sent to 877-282-2337. How do we keep from idolizing the high-profile evangelicals? And I believe the answer to that is that's on me. It's not on them. Now, unless a conference is doing something bizarre and ridiculous to make them look like celebrity strobe lights when they enter the stage and Elvis's theme song is blaring away. Okay, that would be a problem. But having a speaker on a platform to bless a group of people because the dude happens to be exceptional in a particular area, there's nothing wrong with that. I need to work on my heart to make sure that I am not elevating that person beyond what they should be esteemed as. Should I esteem them? Sure. Idolize them? No, there's a very big difference. Instead, I need to exercise a muscle that will be in wonderful shape in heaven. Appreciating everything rightly. We're going to have things in heaven even better than great Christian conferences. Meals, entertainment, athletic competitions. Work is going to be marvelous. Maybe even inventions. Because remember, we're not going to be omniscient. And a lot of the things we do here, we're going to be doing there. The stuff that you love to do here that isn't sinful, you're going to be doing it there. How awesome. But the difference usually between heaven and here with those activities is that here we just do them. Here we just consume them. And we forget that this perfect gift is from the Father of Lights. This is from Him. He gave us this. Whoa, the God's awesome. So whatever the activity is that you're doing, this cup of tea that I've got, I shouldn't drink it and go, man, that tea is amazing. And those people at Throat Coat, wow, I'm just in awe of those people. I should drink this tea and go, Lord, you are, wow, amazing. You gave us tea. You gave us water. You gave us a chemically infused styrofoam cup that I'm sure RFK would not approve of. The point is, I appreciate everything because it comes from Him. That's what you're going to be doing in heaven. You're just going to be digging everything because of Jesus. And that's what we need to be doing now. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't go to a conference and enjoy some gifted individuals. It means we should go to those conferences understanding that God has gifted them, God has blessed them, and God has given them to the church for us to grow and to be edified. So in other words, we need to be practicing our heavenly heart here on earth. Now, having said all of that, I have noodled. What if Fortis Institute did a conference? Is there anything we could do that would keep that from being a potential, that people would put people up on the platform on a pedestal? And I've mused it, and I thought, well, I don't think that there's any, you know, short of playing da-da-da-da-da-da, which we wouldn't do. Unless it were from a pipe organ, then I'd consider it. We wouldn't do anything that's like trying to, hey, Greg Gifford, huh? He's better than the rest of you, right? We would never do anything to do that, but I'm not sure, though, that there's anything you could do that would keep an individual from potentially doing that. They're going to be on a platform. They're going to have to walk onto the platform. They're going to be sitting and doing Q&A, which are blessings. Unless, of course, you do word association. You don't want to be doing that. So I think the issue, again, when it comes to the idolization of really gifted men, it's not so much on them and the conferences or the system or the internet. It's up to us to guard our hearts, to simply guard our own hearts, appreciate them the way that we're supposed to appreciate everything, just like we'll be doing in heaven. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Ralph. Todd, will there be...
I'm sorry, from who?
Ralph.
Whom?
Ralph.
Ralph. Is that onomatopoetic? You're trying to sound like Ralph?
Yeah.
Okay. At least, I hope his last name isn't Kratz. Because if you put those two together, Wow, that would be something. Do we have any of those around?
I probably would. It'd take me a while to find them.
Could I find them? That's the question. When we first started doing the integrated podcast with John Kratz, Jimmy had to do the show opens, all of that stuff. That's all Jimmy, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. All of those podcasts, the production, the openings, the music, all of that stuff. That's what Jimmy does all day. And when you did the integrated podcast, the opener, and now all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, Dr. John Kratz.
It was a demo.
So imagine, Ralph Kratz. What's Ralph up to?
He wants to know, will there be more people in heaven or hell?
Well, I think we need to take Jesus at face value when he said, broad is the road that lead to destruction, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it. How broad, how narrow? Well, we want to be careful with that. We don't want to become universalists, that's for sure, because that would actually violate specifically what Jesus said. But we want to make sure, too, that we recognize as long as somebody is square on the essentials, then they're born again, they're on the narrow road. So for some of us, that road might be slightly wider than we imagined. I don't want to make it narrower than Jesus said, that's for sure. But I think it's pretty clear. Broad is the road, destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And what's so heartbreaking to me increasingly is that people, they don't know what they're missing. And we present such a paltry Jesus so often to people. It can be done in a myriad of ways. Where, in fact, I think we just did a video on that. It'll be coming out soon. I think there's a new Christological heresy. It's Gumby Christianity that we just mold Jesus into something. Hey, do you like this Jesus? Okay, come to church. Yeah. Can't be doing that. And we've done that historically. I think we're doing it in less of a clever way, but just trying to focus on this aspect about won't you just come and check him out. Check out the claims of Jesus. Just check him out. Give him a try for 30 days. And if you don't like it, you can get your money back. Quoth Pastor Rick Warren on the Hannity and Combs program, Christmas Eve, Fox News. The gospel, the Jesus that we present, we need to present the full orbed Jesus. You better believe, we better let people know he's the Lamb who's going to return in wrath. You got to know, you are messing with, you ain't going to win. In fact, you're going to cry out for the rocks to fall on you and crush you and grind you to powder, which is exactly what he is going to do. The rock that offended you is going to crush you. You need to know that. We don't want to get rid of that. But then we want to let people know, do you know what he invites you to now? He invites you to everything. He wants you to be in his kingdom, the kingdom that really is. Love is the kingdom. It really is. This is why when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What was it? What was the first word? What about for the second commandment, which is like it? What was the first word? Love. Love. God wants us to love him. He wants you to love the best thing there is. He doesn't want you to be swimming in a swamp with cheap knockoffs, with things that should be pointing to him, but instead we elevate as our own idol and we're forever disappointed. He wants us to enjoy the best thing that there is. Come on, y'all. What are you waiting for? Seriously, what are you waiting for? Come to Jesus. You will not only will you never get a better offer, you'll never get a better offerer. You'll never get a better object. You'll never get a better person. You'll never get an experience better than coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, humbling yourself, repenting, and putting your trust in him. That's Jesus. That's the one we need to be presenting. And in an effort these days to try to get more people on the road, puny Jesus, puny, he gets you. He's cool with you. He cries with you. Now, all of these things have a grain of truth in them, but that's puny Jesus. That's like runty Jesus. Okay, so he's a friend. Oh, no. Oh, no, no. You don't understand. Friends that you have on this earth are the best friend that you've ever had pales in comparison to the friendship that you would have in the person of Jesus Christ. They're all just pointing to him. They're mere shadows of the reality of Jesus Christ. And when we change Jesus into a groovy dude, a hip dude, a guy who just kind of laughs at dirty jokes, he wouldn't care about your sins so much. Oh, don't diminish Jesus. Instead, read about the Jesus in the Bible. All of them, because even the stuff that the world would consider severe, if it is explained rightly, they're going to go, that's awesome. You mean he's going to judge everybody? And there's not going to be a criminal who escapes as dragnet and they're brought to justice? Awesome! One more reason you should love Jesus Christ, because even the severe attributes, the things that we find rather challenging, don't get rid of them. Explain them, because there is nothing about God that isn't absolutely magnificent. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The birth crisis in the West is headed toward an economic catastrophe, with experts warning the cost to America alone will reach into the quadrillions of dollars. That's a lot of money. But one economist notes that the crisis dwarfs other budget concerns, calling it not just a small change like $1 trillion here or there. What's the cost of a society structured to discourage the family rather than celebrating? Apparently, quadrillions. A new study from Yale confirms what many vaccine-injured Americans have long suspected. The COVID jab spike protein can linger in the body for years, not days or weeks, as we were repeatedly told. Researchers found evidence of protein persistence up to 709 days post-vaccination, linking it to a condition they're calling post-vaccination syndrome. PVS sufferers report brain fog and fatigue, neuropathy, and other debilitating symptoms that mirror long COVID but appear in people with no prior infection. And currently, accountability in this area is moving at a gradual pace, certainly a lot more gradual than all of the rhetoric surrounding getting the jab. It's funny how that works. Senator Ted Cruz has exposed the National Science Foundation's $2 billion ideological spending spree under the Biden administration, with millions earmarked for climate justice, equity centers, and studies on white supremacist extremism. Cruz's database meticulously documents how government agencies were weaponized to push far-left ideology under the guise of scientific research. A whistleblower from the NSA has revealed a trans cult with enormous power that has infiltrated America's most secretive intelligence organization, diverting resources from national security to gender ideology, saying that these ideological distractions from the NSA are going to get people killed. Remember that warning the next time someone claims the culture war is just about pronouns. And Parents Defending Education has filed a federal civil rights complaint against a California school district over a near $75,000 contract with an organization focused exclusively on black male students. The complaint highlights programs like a crowning ceremony and a Kingmakers classroom experience that allegedly discriminates by race. Meanwhile, in Maryland, the House of Delegates has passed a bill allowing contraceptive vending machines in schools, including kindergartens and preschools. One Republican delegate warned that this is what happens when people in charge put ideology over common sense. Now, this is a lot more than breaking common sense. This is pure evil. In the state of Tennessee, lawmakers are debating a bill requiring school districts to ban cell phones for students during class time. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means the Lord comforts, brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes: repentance or destruction. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Free stuff. Get your free stuff here. This is Wretched Radio. Last day to take advantage of, wow, what a Valentine's Day gift. Drive-by marriage. Not just the lectures, the study guide. Free. Why? Because we love to see marriages not just survive, but to thrive. Hey, that's a pretty good tagline right there. Anybody using that that you can think of?
Yeah.
Brad Bigney. His Thrive Podcast, which, by the way, it's blowing up and it is awesome. And he's such a likable communicator. If you're thinking about getting married, you are married, you should be listening to the Thrive Podcast and get yourself a free copy of Drive-By Marriage. It's 30-some 15-minute lectures. It has a study guide. Do it as a husband and wife. I promise you, you're going to go to places you didn't even know existed. And sir, I know this kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies, but you will be participating. You won't be able to avoid it in the conversations that your wife has always wanted to have with you that are a little bit more introspective, a little deeper, perhaps a little bit more vulnerable. Drive-By Marriage, it's free. Just go to Fortis Institute. No, Fortis Plus. Where do we go?
FortisPlus.org.
FortisPlus.org/Mowage. But spell it correctly. Not like you're from New Zealand, where you just kind of snowmobile, which you never do in New Zealand. Snowmobile over those R's. Rev your R's. Marriage. FortisPlus.org/marriage. And then as long as you're at the internet machine, send us stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This is from Laurel. Todd, what if there are no doctrinally sound churches in your area?
That's rough.
How picky should I be?
Well, let's define doctrinally sound. Because if you've got a church that has small old orthodoxy box checked, you can go to that church. Right, you even if it's got some stuff where you're like, oh, I really don't dig this, because you have to be in a local church. You just have to. And seriously, you have to be a member of a local church where you serve, and you will grow, and it is your safe place. So find the church that at least is small o orthodox, and just pick the best one you can, and become a member and start serving there. Having said that, there isn't one. It's possible where you live that there isn't even one that makes it up to orthodoxy level. What can you do? I think you've got two options. One, find some people in your community, as small as it might be, that would be like-minded and start assembling together. Start a home church and to see what the Lord does with that. Second option is, and I know this sounds radical, move. Go find one. Check it out. Meet with the elders. Let them know your intentions. And then go about the business of moving there. It is really that important. I remember initially dealing with this issue, because this is not an uncommon issue for a lot of people, and saying, move. It's like, yeah, you're kind of crazy, but move. No, you're kind of crazy to not be a member of a church. That's what's kind of crazy. You're in danger, Will Robinson. You must be in a local church. Find the best one you can. Join it. If not, find the best one you can and move to it. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is a text from Jackson. Todd, my name is Jackson, and I'm a 21-year-old college student. Lately, I've been feeling joyless in my walk with Jesus. Mm-hmm. When I open the Word or spend time in prayer, I have a hard time finding joy in it. Mm-hmm. What are some practical ways to increase my joy?
Keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't let that deter you. Don't let the motive be good feelings. Let the motive be, I love my Lord and I want to be obedient. So I'm going to do the things that He promises will grow me, because you can be going through a season. And please note, it is not uncommon for Christians to go through seasons. Now, you don't want to go into those seasons. You work to make sure that you don't enter a season of dryness. But if you do happen to be experiencing a drought, just know you're not weird. Read the Puritans. They talk about this. In fact, I'm racing through my brain. Is there a Puritan book that dealt with this? I'm almost certain that there is. Is it not Sibs? That was the bruised reed. There's the Puritans. I think they dedicated at least a book to the subject. What do? You keep doing what you're doing. But now, having said that, make sure that you're doing what Acts chapter 2 describes as the spiritual food that God gives to you for your nourishment and good health. You're listening to preaching. So you're going to church. That's the context. You're in church. You're praying, taking the Lord's table, fellowshipping with one another. You're sitting under the authority of the Word. just keep doing all of those things. But then let me encourage you to do some things that might help. Number one, take a look at your diet. What are you consuming? What type of preaching? If the preaching doesn't ever stir, if it doesn't ever cause you to go, wow, the Lord is awesome. Wow, he's just amazing. Then you might want to change your diet. Now, I'm not saying leave your church, but I'm saying if you're downloading and podcasting stuff and they don't cause your heart ever to soar, start looking for guys that will. Jimmy, are there any podcasts you can think of that might accomplish that? FortisPlus.org. You can try that. Go listen to guys like Milton Vincent. We were driving, Mrs. Friel and I were driving back to, we were going to Chattanooga. It was involved somewhere, the state of Tennessee. And this is where our pretty regular pattern is to listen to a sermon while we're driving. Because why wouldn't you? And so we're getting the phone ready and she's like, okay, who do you want to listen to? And I said, hey, up to you, sweetheart. And she said, Milton Vincent, he's my favorite, which I overlooked. I accepted the praise for Milton. Just fine, but he is praiseworthy. He's awesome as a shepherd and as an expositor. And he was talking about Thomas. This is another element that might be missing. If you're sitting under preaching that never convicts, that's bad for you. Because when you're convicted, you know what it does? It causes you, it pushes you, it forces you to run to the feet of Jesus. It makes you, and that's where you want to be. That's where your joy is found. So it could be that you're having a drought because you're never getting any sort of conviction from the pulpit. So Milton, who is a shepherd to the core, this is how he convicted. And I'm telling you, it was like, Acme frying pan to the face. He said, just very casually, it seemed, but I'm sure he prepared it. Go ahead and put an adjective in front of Thomas's name, if you would like to, and if you're willing to be identified forever or for one of your failures. Then a little bit of conviction, but then he talked about how, and you might even want to go listen to this sermon. It could edify you in this way that Jesus. He was aware that Thomas was doubting, which is different than disbelief. By the way, he was aware of it. He didn't shun him for that. Instead, he made himself available to show him, here I am. And by the way, the text does not indicate that Thomas actually had to feel the sides or the hands. It was enough to see Jesus and to hear Jesus talk because Jesus was willing to help Thomas. But he didn't want to foster his doubt. He wanted to murder it. That was the word he used. And later he said he wanted to slaughter it. That's what Jesus wants to do with your doubt. And when we're done with the sermon, after I'd finished licking my wounds, it was like, yes, what a savior. What a savior that he puts up with doubt. We have no reason to doubt. Zero reason to doubt. There's a young man who's kind of the hot thing right now. He's an atheist or agnostic, whatever he calls himself on the YouTube machine. Alex, somebody, I think. And it was one atheist, 25 Christians. And so he sits in the middle of the table and I think he gives them like 2 minutes, something like that. And then the 25 people have to rush to get to the open chair. And then they try to engage him. And they were getting into things like the genocide of the Old Testament, what have you. And I thought, dude, You're going to laugh at this. The expert atheist of our time, apparently, or at least the popular atheist of our time right now, let's just say, is this young man. I would go right back to the very basics of the most obvious thing on the planet, and that is God exists. There's nothing more obvious. You cannot deny, and I would not get off it with that young man and let him take me into rabbit trails where he impugns the integrity of God by looking at genocides, which he cannot possibly understand. No, in fairness, I might actually say, what's the problem with genocide, my atheist friend? What's your issue? What is your ground for accusing God of not doing things rightly? Might do that, but otherwise it would simply be God exists. It is obvious. I could not persuade you that this cup I'm holding happened by itself, and it couldn't be more basic. And yet the intricacy on the molecular level of the human body is staggering. And you deny that God designed and made that? You're without excuse. But I digress. Get yourself under preaching that convicts, encourages, and shines the spotlight on King Jesus. And then might I suggest, just as a practical help, go driving in your car with your favorite worship CD or whatever you use to make noise in your car and sing your fool head off to the Lord Jesus Christ. See if that doesn't help your heart and your affections just a little bit. This is Wretched Radio.
What if you could strengthen your marriage in just minutes a day? Well, we're making that possible and easier than ever before, because now through the end of the month, we're giving away our resource Drive By Marriage completely free at FortisPlus.org. And also don't forget to pick up the study guide absolutely free as well. Drive By Marriage gives you 31 powerful bite-sized lessons that fit into your busy schedule. And with the study guide, you're going to get deeper insights and practical exercises to apply what you're learning. This complete marriage building package has helped couples grow closer to each other and closer to God. You're going to discover keys to better communication, biblical solutions for resolving conflict, and ways to build lasting trust and intimacy. Don't miss this opportunity. Visit FortisPlus.org now to get your free digital copy of Drive By Marriage and the study guide. Remember, the special offer ends at the end of the month. Head to FortisPlus.org right now. It's Drive By Marriage, because a few minutes a day can transform your marriage forever. FortisPlus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Ever feel like you're watching the culture shift beneath your feet? Yeah, you're not alone, and you're not without allies either. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled a powerhouse team of biblical voices to help you navigate these challenging times. From Tim Challies to Brad Bigney to Adam Tyson and Greg Gifford, our fellows deliver daily content that transforms confusion into clarity. Whether you're tackling marriage challenges, parenting questions, or personal growth, Fortis Institute is ready with biblically grounded wisdom. We're not just offering commentary, we're providing a comprehensive toolkit for living boldly in an increasingly complex world. Through our daily podcasts and video content and live events, we're equipping believers to stand firm without wavering. And if you want to be part of something bigger, join the Fortis community today. Visit FortisInstitute.org and discover why thousands are turning to Fortis Institute as their trusted source for biblical wisdom. Because when the world seems to be turning upside down, we remain steadfast. It's Fortis Institute, where we're standing firm and standing together.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yo, Jimmy.
Yes.
Am I supposed to be... Look, you're listening to the most professional Christian radio program on this station at this time. It's the Seeking Hospitality Volunteer for TV recording event. Am I supposed to be talking about that? You don't even know anything about that.
I don't think...
You're looking at me like Mount Rushmore. All right, here's the deets. That's right. I said deets, and no, I'm not wearing skinny jeans. We're looking for a warm, organized. Well, 98.6, I would think. Isn't that like what we're looking for? A warm, organized, and servant-hearted individual to help with hospitality at our weekend TV recording event. Okay, I think we've got Jason Lyle. All of the fellows come in, the Fortis fellows. So Jason Lyle, I think he's next up. He's going to be coming into the studio and he's going to deliver 10 lectures. The ultimate proof. It's going to be awesome. And we'll have a studio audience. And we want to treat our guests well, but we could use some extra hands. So if you happen to be in Atlanta and you're warm, you just take some Tylenol and then send us an email letting us know that you might be willing to help us with all of these, actually. It would just be a way to serve in this context. And you get to watch the filming and you can eat some of the treats, which I think we need to up our treats, Jimmy, when it comes to these recording things. A lot of gummy products. A lot of these bars that aren't very healthy health bars. I'm just saying. We could use a little upgrade. And you could help with that. So what do you need to do? Send an email to fellows, as in fellows, at fortisinstitute.org. Fortis at fellowsinstitute.org. You don't have to do all of them. I think we're doing like 4 or 6 of these per year. They are so fun. We just did this with Adam Tyson. Dr. Adam Tyson was in. And we didn't have a studio audience. Instead, he actually sat at a round table with 3 young men. And he spent 10 lectures with them, how to be a godly man. It was called Walk Like a Man, which is one of the most ironic songs ever because it's sung with a falsetto. It doesn't quite match the thing with the deal there, but it was awesome. If you are willing to help us here at Fortis Institute by serving in the hospitality role, we'd be super grateful. Fellows at fortisinstitute.org. And then you can send other stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This question is interesting. It's from Natalie. Todd, a friend of mine goes to a church where one of the elders is very involved in a ministry with homeless people. He has a very big heart for them. And he does weekly feedings and other ministries. The church he attends is having problems with a few newer attendees who are homeless. They arrive very drunk.
Got it.
And make noise during the service.
Yeah.
The congregation has been very patient and tried to help these people, but it doesn't seem like they want the help.
Yeah.
What should the church do?
Yeah, I think this is, it requires a powwow. That's a Greek word that means get together and work through it. That's that, it just, this is that two-way street thing. Was that today? Yesterday? Who am I? Why am I here? We talked about this. If there's a squawking kid in church, well, the parents shouldn't let the kid squawk. But when the kid does squawk, we go, kid squawk. And it's this relational, because we have to overlook things and we have to work to be considerate of others. And so I think if you go in without an axe to grind, hey, pastor, can we talk about this? We love it that you do it. It shows us your shepherd heart. We love that these people come here. We want them to come here and flourish. Here's what we're seeing. Can we walk through this together? Don't insist on what the result of the conversation is. Lovingly, respectfully, sit down with the man. Sit down with other members of the congregation. Don't do this. Don't start becoming factious. Don't start talking about the guy with did you see that homeless guy? When is this pastor going to stop? I'm really glad that he does it, but don't do that. Don't do that. Get your heart right, if it isn't, and then meet with them and work through it. That, it'll be good for everybody. It really will, because there is a principle that I do believe needs to guide a church service. Now, you can have shades of it, and different cultures are going to look at it a little bit differently, but things need to be done decently and in order. And I'm not sure, honestly, I would let a drunk person into the church. If you're here to hear the word of God, you're checking us out, swell, welcome. I hope you fall down and get saved. But if you're drunk coming in, sorry, you got to go get sobered up, then you can come in. And furthermore, if they do have the ability to disrupt because manners or whatever is going on, then you need to talk to them. And the pastor needs to talk to them. Hey, friend, we want you here so badly. Here's the decorum for the church. This is why God says that he wants church done decently and in order. You have a tendency to blurt things out. Could I have to ask you to stop doing that? Now, if they don't come because of that, well, that's a bummer. But I do believe that the church needs to be protected so that things are done in a reverential way, decently, and in order. And if I just could expand this for a moment, whatever your issue is in your church, I think that I would probably respond the same way. If it's bugging you, get your heart right, talk to the elders, talk to the person, and work through it. Because I'm telling you, every time we do that, we come out on the other side stronger, loving each other more. And you got a deeper thing going on. When everything's just like, I bop in, I bop out. And oh, I don't like the music anymore, I'm out of here. Oh, you're just missing out on so much sweetness. You put up with stuff, God grows you in patience, long-suffering, and love, and being charitable toward others. And then you can help them grow because they're maybe not doing it in a way that is good as the way that you happen to know. It's like, ah, and then when you're done with that, you just get closer and closer and closer. It's like friends that don't abandon each other when the going gets tough. You stick through it with a friend. And what happens? That friendship is stronger on the other side. Your spouse. Now, we're keeping abuse issues aside here. You're having trouble with your spouse. Work through it. I know it's hard. I know it is. But the Lord wants you to work through it because you will grow because of it. Don't throw in the towel. And this is not marriage advice for every single situation. In general, work through these issues because what happens? You know this. Okay, Jimmy, have you ever had an argument with Mrs. Hicks? I know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
But then you work through it.
Mm-hmm.
No, and you genuinely work through it. You don't just, whatever, sweep it under the rug, which is never a good practice. There's some stuff you can, but if there isn't repentance and forgiveness, you're going to be in big trouble pretty soon. But you actually worked through it. And what was it like with Mrs. Hicks when everything was kind of settled and sorted biblically and well?
I don't know the words. It's like you feel, the way you feel is like, you know what I mean? It just,
everything. How's about closer?
Yeah, it just feels good.
It just feels, there you go. That's I'll what, take that. I'll accept that answer. It just feels good.
Right.
And you have warm feelings. Let's be honest. Some fights have resulted in very romantic evenings for couples. What happened there? You worked it out and you wouldn't have experienced those joys if you hadn't engaged. Don't be a peace faker. Be a peacemaker. And get Ken Sandy's book at fortisinstitute.org. Send stuff to idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, some in our church leading public prayer write out their prayers, often elaborately, and then read them out loud. What's your opinion on that?
Now, did you edit that in any way to make it sound like that's like not a good thing?
No, that's...
It's just asking.
That's the question. And honestly,
I look... We don't have a Bible verse that says prayers need to be written out. I suggest most of us need to write out our prayers. Most of the time, those prayers will be better because some thought was put into them. If you happen to be an individual who doesn't need to do that because you're just an excellent prayer and you can remember all of the things that were just discussed that need some focus, that need to be brought before the throne of God, then go ahead and do it without notes. But I think as a rule, especially in church, right? Okay. Would you like a confession? You're going to get one anyway. One Sunday, I didn't write out the prayer at the end of the sermon. P.U., it was terrible. I'm just telling you, it was like, but when I take the time to think it through, to bring Bible verses into the prayer, to quote God's word back to him, those are inevitably better prayers. So I'm a fan. I don't think I'd make a law where there is no law. As a rule, they're going to be better, but they don't have to be. But I'll tell you, I have heard some awful church prayers that weren't written out. I'm telling this was my favorite one, and I wish I were exaggerating. The worship dude finished, you know, doing the deal up there. And Jimmy, did I share Jason? Jason had a prof who went to preach at the church.
Uh-huh.
And when the worship leader got off the stage, he said to the guest preacher, I got them all worshiped up for you.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So this guy finishes doing worshiping up the congregation. Let's pray. God, Amen. I wish I were joking. As a rule, write them out. They're better. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.